Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing a little trade value Thursday edition. A guy that I am interested in exploring this time of year is actually Chase Edmonds. And it was primarily prompted from a breakdown, really, of his value by Cliff Kingsbury recently in a press conference. And he used the phrase bell cow. And I'll just give you a secret on how narratives can get driven and why it is very important, and especially now, to read past the headline, because it says Cliff Kingsbury has faith Chase Edmonds can be the bell cow for Cardinals in 2021. This is a CBS Sports.com headline. But when you read further, I think it's interesting and takes a little bit more context. And the quote says, as far as Chase goes, you've seen when he's had his opportunity, he's played at a starting running back level. We all understand that he's unfortunately been nicked up a couple of times, which we want to keep him on the field. But we all have confidence in the world in Chase and him being able to be the bell cow if that's how this plays out. That's the big caveat that the headline leaves out, right? Which is almost like, yeah, like if it all plays out that way, like, yeah, we have confidence in him. But that's not the plan A. That is absolutely my reading of it, that that's not the plan A, that there's a different plan. So I'm going to use this to actually sell him. I'm going to try and use this opportunity here, especially if Chase Edmonds, if Kenyon Drake walks, I'm going to try and do it early. And maybe that's off a, hey, they don't franchise him or something like that. If there's, you know, some news and narratives or whatnot about him, let's use that as an opportunity to sell him. So I want to explore a little bit of what we see with his profile. Again, you have a lower pedigree guy, so instantly that sort of puts us on a different trajectory in terms of what we should expect with his production going forward. 2020 was his best season, but even then some of the numbers are a little bit to be desired. They leave a little bit to be desired. So 37th in yards after contact, 40th in yards over expectation. He had the sixth most yards expected. So again, some of the numbers there inflated. You're going to look and you're going to see like 4.6 yards per carry. Wow, that's pretty good. Like, yeah, that's high efficiency. Like, yeah, he's underperformed it. So he was definitely a beneficiary. The real thing that sticks out is the yards per route run, 1.33 yards per route run. And so that's, you know, a receiving centric thing. At his size, you would expect that, right? That's kind of where he's going to make his money. So that you feel okay about, but him as a bell cow runner, I mean, we don't really have a prior for that. So, in terms of him, we don't really have a prior experience for that with him. It's a middling grade. It's a 62.6 rushing grade. I mean, that's not, that's way down the position, in terms of effectiveness there. So that's not great either. Nothing more than his career high for yards is 448. So a career 97 total carries. Again, so you're kind of looking at a player where it doesn't really line up. He hit the most carries he's had as a percentage of his team's carries, 28.7. That was this year, 18% the past 2 years. So that was an uptick. He ran basically three times as many routes as he'd ever run before, 65 targets, which is more than about three times as much as he had at any point in his career. 53 receptions is nice, but again, that's 2.5 times what he had at any point in his career. The yards per route run is definitely up. He was targeted on, it's all essentially him running more routes too. He was targeted on 21% of his routes. Previously, it had been 20 and 19% in his first 2 years. And, you know, the big stat that really jumps out with him, he had run 23% of the running back routes in 2018, 15.9% in 2019, 52.9, basically 53% of the routes in 2020. So that's really the big thing. He did see an uptick in receiving grade up to 77. Again, that matches up with the yards per route run thing. I question, him basically being a bell cow. Maybe that if you started to go back to the old workhorse matrix, maybe it's a 5 or a 6. You feel good for like a couple of games, maybe like a stretch, but not as a 1A option going into the season. So is he more, to me at this point, he's more on the priority one injury away list than he is on the lower end of the starting running back list. So when you sort of look at some of these deals for him, that's, I think, the way we should be thinking about it. So when you look to the real draft tracker, we do have, that data over there about where he would rank in terms of the position. And he's going to be in that tier of guys that didn't have a job last year. So that's a thing to really start from. It's a median value of 32 is his median rank in the position, 12.08. So firmly in the middle of the 12th round, guys in that range, Myles Gaskin, Zach Moss, Leonard Fournette is going about a round ahead of him. Guys going behind him, James Conner, Tony Pollard, Mostert is going back there, David Johnson, Alexander Mattison's going behind him as well. So when you look at that, it fits very much a question of, hey, is this really a guy? I don't think the market's really reacted to it all that much. So that would be one of the initial things I would say in terms of his valuation. I'm not sure that the market's really reacting much to him as being this big value at running back. Just looking, sorting here for, because you can sort in the Real Draft Tracker, it's great. You can sort of sort to see if there's any movement. He's up to 12.04 in the last 9 drafts that he's been in, which has been basically in the last week or so, 10 days, maybe 2 weeks in that range. So again, it's not, the market isn't really reacting to this all that much. So we could see, we could even sort closer. Again, we got to be careful with sample size stuff. But in the past few days here, there's only been a couple of drafts ongoing. He's moved up to the 10th round, but that's only 2 drafts. So be careful with that. But that puts him in a whole different tier. That's ahead of Fournette. It's much ahead of like Zach Moss and those guys as well. So, I think this is potentially an upward moving player, and let's see where he could go. Let's just sort of chart this out a little bit here. So he's at right now in the past couple of drafts. So again, super small sample size. Be very careful with thinking about this. But if we're sort of looking to try and gauge where his market might be moving, it's up to the 10th round. Then could we say off some of this news, if Drake signs someplace else, it's sort of to more casual observer, hey, oh man, Chase Edmonds, he's really the guy. It's something we've been thinking about as a possibility for a few months now, but hey, people have tuned out from January to March and now they're getting back into it. Oh look, Chase Edmonds is a starter. Where could he go? Well, Damien Harris is in front of him. He's a 25. Damien Harris is in front of him. That's middle of the 9th round. Ronald Jones is ahead of him. That's early 9th round. Chris Carson's up above him. Melvin Gordon's in there as well. I think that's some small sample size data. Be careful on that. But guys that could trend upwards. Is Chase Edmonds, could he trend up into that range? Sure. He's probably going to start hitting some resistance at like the AJ Dillon, Kareem Hunt, David Montgomery range, but could you see him go up 2-3 rounds in valuation? I definitely think so. So again, it's a balance between doing that right now and sort of, hey, let's take the cash out now, or be a little bit patient over the next week to 10 days as free agency starts going, and sort of watch for that. Maybe we could see an uptick in valuation. I think that's possible too. I wouldn't want to get burned on holding out. Pigs get fat Hogs get slaughtered. So just be careful on that. So some trades here that I've looked at for him, some notable stuff, and this is some, I think I have a different play that I'm going to try and execute. So I'll talk about just some of the more recent ones. So Chase Edmonds for Mike Gesicki, Chase Edmonds for Logan Thomas, Chase Edmonds and Darnell Mooney for 111 and Superflex. I like that. I probably wouldn't do the Logan Thomas deal. I think Gesicki's neutral. I like the 111, get the liquid pick. That's fine. Drake and Edmonds for a 2022 first. That seems, the first is fine. And I'm usually a hey proponent of take the future first. That's fine. Take the randomness of it. It feels like you should get more than that, honestly, would be my thought. So I'd look to add something a little bit more to that. But if you can get a first for him, I think it's a good idea to probably do it. This is a good class to be able to get. You're probably going to get a first-round wide receiver in that range. So I sort of like that play. You know, him, Gallman, and Hopkins for Melvin Gordon, Amari Cooper, and 102, and start one. So I think that's a really nice one because you're basically moving. Essentially, you could look at that trade as being like Cooper and 102 for Hopkins, and then Gallman and Edmonds for Gordon. Right? I like that Gordon Cooper 102 side for sure. So that's just a rundown of some of his valuation stuff. Again, when you look at some of the, the tier stuff, you're going to get really low numbers just because he is he's just a low pedigree guy with low density, low base rates. That's kind of what you're dealing with. And this is sort of how you should think about this process overall. So generally he's a sell. I think you got to be careful on the cost. You know, 8th to 10th round. I really like that cash out price. Again, that is a fringe first round startup pick. So that is sort of the range you're thinking of. Gesicki is fine. I don't like love. I'm not over the moon for Gesicki, but I think like that's kind of the right direction that you're moving towards in terms of trading Edmonds for a much more, what I think would be like a stable option longer term. And maybe it's a package. I think a package that I'm going to pursue is using him to move up in the round, right? So moving late first to mid first with Edmonds is the tack on. I think that's the play that I'm going to be using. So using him as a leverage piece up the board. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Chase Edmonds, till next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.